Okay, country music is playing, but we're all a little disoriented because it's a different day of the week. Welcome to Fantasy Outliers, the podcast, brought to you by FantasyOutliers.com. This is Dave.
And other Dave.
Yep. And here we are, a little later in the week than we've been doing the last couple of weeks. What happened, Dave? Did we time travel forward?
I think we did. I think we got confused as to what day it was, and we ended up recording on the wrong day or something.
Yeah, this is the worst waiver wire pickups podcast ever.
Yeah, because it's after Tuesday.
It's after waivers have processed. Yeah. You've missed all the good deals.
But we're going to tell them to you anyway.
We're going to tell you some of them.
We're going to tell you something.
Right. We're going to tell you some football thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're touching on it a little bit here, but format's going to change of the podcast a little bit here. So we've got some good stuff to go through with you guys today. As we've finished our weekly rankings and we've worked with them for a couple of weeks now, we decided that we think that the best thing for us to do with the podcast is to release it towards the middle of the week so that we can update our rankings and release the podcast as an aid for people making start-sit decisions. What that means is we're not going to be able to talk as much about waiver wire pickups or recapping the previous games like we have on a few podcasts here. What we're going to do instead is kind of look forward to next week more focused, in a more focused way.
Yeah, this week, maybe a little bit next week, and we'll kind of look forward now that we have these projections that not only go for week 8 and a couple of weeks beyond, we actually go towards the end of the season, so right. We can actually talk with, you know, some degree of, you know, predictive math boxiness about what we think is going to happen for the rest of the year.
Right. So if you are excited about that, we're excited about that. So that's going to be good content for the rest of this podcast. But if you are upset and feel like you're going to miss our waiver wire pickups, because I think we've had some good ones this year, actually.
Yeah, we've
had a few.
I
think other people have kind of not been sleeping on, or have been sleeping on a little bit. So I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
I will say, we are going to be publishing waiver wire pickups on Medium still. So if you go to our Medium blog at the beginning of each week, that's medium.com/fantasy-outliers, you'll be able to find an article for each week's waiver wire pickups. We just published one this morning so that people will mostly be publishing those on Tuesdays so that they'll be in time for you to read them before your claims get processed.
Yeah, they're pretty quick. I mean, it doesn't take much to read through them.
Right.
I mean, it's mostly, you know, name of a guy and, you know, the reason why we think and
why we think math box things.
Yeah, exactly. So pretty easy. You don't have to listen to a whole hour long podcast to get a couple of good ideas for waivers.
Right. But you do have to listen to a whole hour long podcast to figure out who you should start and sit each week. Now,
from now on, you do.
Sorry. Sorry, team. So, Dave, before we dive in, how was your week this week?
Busy. Yeah, very busy.
Your fantasy football week was busy?
No. Well, that was busy too, but
yeah.
I basically gutted my teams last week over waivers.
Really? I missed that.
Yeah, I got rid of a lot of guys that, you know, like we were talking about the last couple of weeks, I looked at my whole team and kind of did reevaluations of all the players
and it was
got rid of quarterbacks and guys
Dave
at the end of the
no
bench.
Mercy.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I sort of put my money where my mouth was and you know, did what we've been talking about the last few weeks.
Can you share any of the, like, surprising cuts that you might have made that you remember? What were the hardest couple?
Yeah, I had, I moved on from, this might be slightly surprising to some people, but Martavis Bryant.
Okay.
Just not doing much, tired of him. I don't even think he doesn't even want to be a Steeler. So.
Yeah. So I was on Twitter Sunday morning tweeting out from the Fantasy Outliers account to a bunch of people. And I think I convinced somebody to start Martavis Bryant. I think I actually convinced my wife to start Martavis Bryant on Sunday because I was like, well, he's been making noise. Maybe something will happen. Mm-hmm. So wife and Twitter user, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I also dropped Eric Decker, even though I thought he had a good matchup against Cleveland, but he did nothing. He had a good game before that, and I was like, oh, maybe he's on now. And
Yeah, I think the Jets actually played in Miami. Or no, wait, I'm getting that totally wrong. Sorry. He's not on the Jets anymore.
He's on
Tennessee now.
Yeah.
Tennessee versus Cleveland. That's right.
But he's gone anyway. And I picked up Darren McFadden because I wasn't sure what was going on with Zeke.
Seems
so
like a good pickup.
That's kind of sitting on one team waiting for a judge to come back from vacation or whatever is going on there.
Yep.
Yeah. So
And you told me a
couple of defenses I swapped out. I started streaming defenses pretty aggressively. Yeah. I started New Orleans because they had a good matchup, and then actually swapped out some kickers. So did like a full clean.
It's a bit of a back half of the roster kind of overhaul.
Yeah, yeah.
You said
yeah.
you picked up Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I actually
remember
yeah.
you saying now.
Yep, I got him as well. So
which I think is sort of the crown jewel of the waiver wire right now. If you take a look at our waiver column, you'll see that kind of assessment as to why. Unfortunately, he's on bye next week, so you might be looking for somebody else again from there. So I don't know if you remember a few weeks ago, I was talking about Big Ben and how disappointed I was in him
yeah.
going into the season. And I 3 weeks ago, so my season had started off really badly, but I went 3-0 again this week. The ships
nice.
Are turning around.
Nice.
I'm in second, third, fourth place in most of my leagues now at this point. I think I'm in second, fourth, and sixth is where I'm at right now.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, after starting a combined like 1-11 in three leagues or cool. something like that. Or it was a brutal beginning.
Yeah. I'm not quite that good. I'm like kind of average in most leagues. I'm yeah. at the bottom in one, and I am crushing in the Fantasy Outliers League.
Well, you're not crushing. I have more points than you, and I'm only one game back.
I'm still winning.
Yeah. But I moved on from Big Ben a few weeks ago and went to Carson Wentz in one league at quarterback
mm-hmm.
and went to Deshaun Watson in another league
yeah.
at quarterback. And I am feeling super great about
Deshaun
that across
Watson,
the board,
man.
Basically. Carson Wentz, too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I got Watson in one league the week after, because I was terrible. Like I said, I was awful when I started the season
yep.
in almost every league except for the one, and was able to get him. And man, he's just been on fire.
Yeah.
It's been awesome.
So now we have these weekly start sit projections to help us turn all of our leagues around or keep building on the leads that we have, basically. So before we dive in, let's talk a little bit about what week eight is like. Dave.
Yes.
Big week for buys.
Absolutely.
Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. Six teams on bye. Cardinals, Packers, Rams, Jags, Giants, Titans.
All right. So we have three really good running backs there. I guess maybe DeMarco Murray is not quite in really good anymore. But we do have Fournette and Gurley in that group. We have a couple of teams that just lost their quarterbacks in that group. So they're kind of in upheaval. Like I said, Aaron Jones is kind of a person that everybody's looking at now that Aaron Rodgers isn't playing anymore. You know, what's going to happen with Ty Montgomery versus Aaron Jones? If last week is any indication, it looks like it's going to be Jones's party from here on out, because
oh, yeah.
it's not like they need more people to throw the ball to.
Ty Montgomery basically didn't play
yep.
last week.
He was in for, I think it was
seven snaps
yeah, I was
gonna
say
or something.
It was less than 10 snaps.
Yeah,
I know.
He barely got anything. So, I mean, we have to kind of make some guesses as to what they're going to do. But
yep.
if you're, you know, if you don't have a quarterback that you're confident in, what are you going to do?
Right.
You're going to hide the quarterback and
right.
you're going to run the ball.
Right.
So Aaron Jones looks like the best running back they have. He looks like a real running back. He doesn't look like a converted running back.
Right.
And they've been giving him all the run. So
right.
if you've got him, keep him, plug him in.
Right.
I mean, we don't
next
have,
week, of course.
Next, well, not
ninth,
this, not
yeah.
this week. Yeah, I mean, I think we're actually all kind of a little bit lucky. The NFL is lucky, and fantasy teams are lucky that the Packers and the Cardinals are on bye, because we get a little more time to sort of figure out what to do about all the skill players on these teams.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, if you got Jordy Nelson, I mean, I'm more
worried about like the people who are relying a little bit too much on Randall Cobb or something like that
yeah.
at the back end of,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But if you have,
or like, Adams is probably kind of like,
yeah, exactly. I mean, but I think that's a little different though, because if you have those guys and they're flex or they're, you know, wide receiver twos or whatever for you, you might have someone better to start in that position.
Right.
If you've got Jordy or Larry Fitzgerald or something, you maybe don't have better options. You
yeah.
might have to just roll the dice
and
hope that
going down a whole tier.
Yeah. That yeah. hope that they can do something, because they didn't do anything this week.
Yep.
I mean, Brett Hundley looked bad. Nobody caught anything.
Yeah.
And I think it's just going to be all running backs from now on,
yeah.
whether it'll be all Aaron Jones or all, you know, a mix of Aaron Jones and Ty Montgomery. I think that kind of remains to be seen, but man, I would not start those guys in week 9 if I could get away with it.
The wide receivers.
The wide receivers, at
yeah,
least,
so,
yeah.
So here's the deal. The reason we brought this up is because we want to give you an idea of why we're going to be talking about certain players where they are in the ranks. We're missing basically four startable running backs out of the top 24. You know, if you count Peterson as being in the bubble on that, maybe it's four out of the top 30.
No, I think he is, for sure.
That's right.
Because so you've got the same situation with Carson Palmer being out.
Right. So in a normal week, that's four guys that would be started in the top in running back one or running back two that are gone. And then there's also maybe four or so wide receivers that are in that top 20 to 24 kind of tier as well that are missing this week. So I think that the reason that we want to say this is that things are pretty slim, especially at running back. We're going to talk a little bit more about what those ranks look like when we get there. But this is the type of week where if you don't have somebody already on your roster, you may have a tough time finding that right person to take a waiver wire shot on. We have some of that in our article on Medium. We're also going to bring up a few names in this podcast just to try to help people in case that there are still people available after waivers are processed. We'll also throw a few names out here and there for next week if you want to look ahead to when your roster might still be thin just because of injuries and things like that. So without further ado, also, I do have some more ado. Sorry. The last thing is, if you want to get access to our projections in the uncut form, basically, you can hop onto our Medium blog and sign up for our newsletter or reach out to us at podcast@fantasyoutliers.com, and we will share a link to the spreadsheet with you where you can see all the data that goes, not all the data, all of the different columns that we've used to project from. So you want to talk about quarterbacks?
Sure. Let's talk about quarterbacks.
So a couple of weird, interesting things in the quarterback rankings this week coming out of MathBox. The first question I want to ask you, Dave, is who do you think is the number one scoring quarterback so far this year in fantasy football?
I feel like that's a trick question. I want to say that it's like, I mean, it's probably not Tom Brady or one of the normal guys.
Okay.
So I'm going to pick like Kirk Cousins or something.
Not true.
No.
It is Alex Smith.
Really?
It's the number one scoring quarterback in fantasy. ESPN kind of standard scoring.
He put up like 40 points in one league for me last week on my bench.
Your bench, yeah. So I think it's pretty interesting, actually, that we have Alex Smith, maybe someone who you haven't been paying a lot of attention to this year and is maybe sitting on your bench coming in at coming in at quarterback number five this week in MathBox's projections. What do you think about that, Dave?
I think that MathBox is calling something that ESPN is ignoring and some of the other rankers are ignoring because he's way lower than that. I mean, he's down at 14, 15 coming into this week. So MathBox is seeing something that I think nobody else is. I mean, this is one of the things that's really interesting about having projections like this is because you think of Alex Smith or you think of like LeGarrette Blount or something like that. I can't speak. And we all have kind of this psychological reaction to those names. We think, Oh, they're not good players.
Yeah, when you say Alex Smith, I just fall asleep.
Yeah, you just fall asleep. You're like, oh, they're not good. Well, in fantasy, like it doesn't matter where the points come from. They can come from players that are underwhelming. And you can still put up 40 points in a week, you know? And LeGarrette Blount can do the same thing, too. And I think having a computer do it makes it a lot less biased.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when we look at these ranks, like these expert ranks, you know, they have the same biases that we do.
Yeah.
And they think Alex Smith isn't very good. He shouldn't be the fifth quarterback this week. Well, maybe he should be.
Yeah. I mean, here's my take on it. Like, I agree with Dave. I think that people have been knocking him for just kind of being unsexy for a number of years. I've known people over the years who have managed to like navigate through the playoffs into like fantasy victory with Alex Smith as their quarterback just through like streaming and things like that. But I do think we're looking at a little bit of a different guy this year. Like his points per opportunity, I think are higher than what many people thought they were going to be going into the year. The thing that I think people are cooling it on him a little bit this week in particular is that he's playing Denver.
Yeah.
So we recognize in our model, we have Denver ranked as the number 13 defense against quarterbacks.
Which is very much middle of the pack. I mean, that's not what you would think.
It's top third. It's like the top third in a good way.
Yeah, but it's not what you would think the crushing Denver defense would do to a quarterback.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I definitely agree. I was surprised when I saw that the rank was that it was that they weren't better.
Right.
I thought they would be better. So I guess that the moral of the story here is MathBox is not actually that scared of the Denver matchup for Alex Smith, and the industry is a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that if I had to, given the way that Smith has been playing this year and the kind of points that he's been putting up, I would roll with him just because it's happened so many times this year and just kind of see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, this conversation is kind of, I think, changing my mind about the team that I have Alex Smith on. I think I picked him up for a bye week thing or just a spot start, and I never dropped him, and I was considering dropping him, and now I'm like, no, maybe I should just roll with it. Maybe I should actually put him in.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would keep him. In fact, if you look at some of the names that he's ranked just ahead of it on our list, he is ranked ahead of Tom Brady at number 6. He's ranked ahead of Carson Wentz at number 7.
Now, let's be fair. It's very close. I mean, there isn't a ton of margin in the points, projected points between those two guys.
No, that's true. They're definitely in the same tier, but he is ranked just slightly above them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on from there to who we have as our number one quarterback this week, according to MathBox, which is very exciting to me.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it's the aforementioned Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans.
Who also is going up against a tough defense.
Yes, this is one that has actually...
This is for real, though.
Yeah, a little bit more. I mean, MathBox is recognizing Seattle as the number 4 defense.
Against quarterbacks.
Yes, against quarterbacks. This one makes me a little more nervous in some ways, especially when I see that the ECR on Deshaun Watson at this point in time is, I think, 13. It's really close to the same as...
Yeah, but it's kind of the same. What I think we're seeing here is that these supposedly very tough defensive matchups not really affecting the rankings so much for MathBox. Like, it's not factoring that in
right. Maybe
as much as you would think.
As heavily as other people do when they're doing it by hand.
As the humans would be.
So I'd feel comfortable starting him. I'm definitely running him back out there in the league where I have him, where I mentioned earlier that I dropped Ben Roethlisberger in order to bring him on, all that kind of stuff. So go to Sean Watson. So a couple other notes about this week. We have Matt Ryan at number 8 overall right now. I got to tell you, I am out.
I'm
on
skeptical
Matt Ryan.
Of that. Yeah.
I'm a little bit unsure. I'm looking at the MathBox projections right now and seeing that it kind of has him slightly middle of the pack on points per opportunity, but with towards the top of the pack with of opportunities to reach the projected score that it has for Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even close to what his ranking has been, his actual scoring has been this year. And even though he's playing a good defense, he's playing the Jets, I'm still very worried. And I honestly, I hope that a while ago, if I'm a Matt Ryan owner, that I already went out and hit the waiver wire and got one of these other younger quarterbacks because he had been so lackluster this year. But I want out of the Matt Ryan business if I'm an owner of him right now.
Yeah, I mean, but you say the Jets defense, yeah, playing against a good defense, but not really against quarterbacks. Like,
right.
They're 21st.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So,
was it? Yeah.
Yeah, so not, I mean, the matchup is not that bad. Now, I'm with you, though. Like, I don't think he should be that high. I'm not sure why he's projected that high, but MathBox has been high on Matt Ryan for a while, so.
And maybe
it's
kind of
just
still
to
waiting
it.
To correct because of the tools that he has there. But I don't want any piece of him in my starting lineup until he proves me wrong.
I think we can agree on that.
Yep. Carson Wentz at number 7. I just want to throw out there because we mentioned him a minute ago, but he has been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He continues to be awesome, and he's projected to be awesome by MathBox here at number 7. He also has a great matchup this week against San Francisco.
Yeah.
So feel good
about that.
In the league where I have Wentz, he's put up over 40 points each of the last 2 weeks, and I think it's probably going to keep coming. Last thing I throw out here about this week in quarterback is streaming options. If you're thinking about who you could run out to the waiver wire and get, one of them we wrote about in our waiver wire article on Medium, that is Josh McCown, who we have a quarterback 16.
Who no one owns.
No one owns, and so if you're really desperate for something and want somebody who you feel like might have a shot at a normal matchup, you could take a look at Josh McCown. Two other names I would put out there right now are Philip Rivers, who's probably kind of medium owned
sure.
in leagues. He's matching up against the New England Patriots.
The fantastic New England Patriots that have the worst defense in all of the NFL.
Correct. So I think that if he happens to be available on your league or he happens to be riding your bench as a backup right now, he's definitely worth starting this week.
Great
as a spot.
Start.
Even though we have him at number 15 or so overall. So he's outside of our top 12, but you know, the other guys in the top 12 are most likely rostered. There's not really a waiver option within the top 12 available this week for streaming.
Yeah. This is sort of the bottom end of what I think I'd feel comfortable with mm-hmm. starting. Everything, most of the guys after this level are yeah. kind of like really shaky.
Yeah, and here's the last guy in that level that I have from my notes right now, and that's Tyrod Taylor against Oakland, who also has a pretty, you know, he also has a pretty good matchup this mm-hmm. week. So I think you could take a look at those three players, Rivers, McCown, and Taylor for this week for streaming options if that's how you do your quarterback position. So looking in the kind of near term for people that might be worth a stash either for next week or the weeks afterwards, what are a couple names that you have, Dave?
Yeah. So like the next 4 weeks, if you use the strict predictions without any adjustments, the total for the next 4 weeks, number one quarterback, Russell Wilson, and a total outlier too. He's projected to get 95 points, which the next closest is Drew Brees at 85.
So I did not notice that.
Yeah, he's way outside normal. And then it drops to Brady, which is sort of predictable.
Before we get off Wilson for a second, just to be clear, he's predicted to score 95 and be number one in the next 4 weeks. He is our number nine quarterback this week. So those ranks do change week over week if you take a look at our predictions sheet. So you really do have to pay attention to more than just the next 4 weeks or the total point scoring to see who the person to plug and play every
week.
Yeah,
exactly. There are some people that are pretty low or pretty high this week, and it changes quite a bit their ranking over the next four.
Right.
So, so at three, we have Brady at 79 points. Okay, so that's a 4-point drop from Breeze. And then we have Matt Ryan at number four. Now he's like,
well, that's up from where we're already skeptical.
I know. So take that for what you will. You can believe that or not.
Well, here's what I would say really quick, because I did not notice that in the four week outlook scoring. If you are a frustrated Matt Ryan owner, and I'm thinking of a particular friend of mine right now, maybe it's worth just stashing him on the bench and not cutting him, even though he's only been quarterback 23 or so this year in scoring. Put him there, give him a week or two, find somebody you feel comfortable starting for a couple weeks and see how it goes.
Yeah, MathBox has got your back, so we'll see.
We'll see if Matt Ryan has your back.
Yeah, we'll see if he does.
Right.
But after that, the next name is going to surprise you. Actually, there's a pretty significant tier right after this for the next 4 weeks where the point ranges are very tight. So between 74 points and 64 points. So all these guys are pretty close.
Okay.
But number five, Andy Dalton.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 73.99 over mm-hmm. the next 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He is ranked this week as our quarterback. He's ranked at quarterback 19 this week.
He loves him. MathBox loves him the next 4 games.
That's a big rebound for him to go from 20 to 5 with 1 week being at 20.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, the point ranges are very tight. So if you were to have one bad game, he would probably drop, you know, 10 spots in our rankings.
Right.
So
but it's still worth saying that he's somebody who's out there in a lot of leagues probably for potentially to be able to grab and have as a like short-term fill-in for somebody over the next few weeks.
Right. And so right after that is our boy Alex Smith at number six, which is, you know, been number
Believe
one
it.
This year. So
I think
MathBox is on that.
I think top 10 quarterback for Alex Smith is fine mm-hmm. for me the rest of the year.
Yeah. And then right after him, Cam, which I think is not a terrible ranking for him, actually. But there's a couple guys at the back end of that point range. So Big Ben is at 12. For us, actually, Dak Prescott is 13 for MathBox
over the next
4
month.
Weeks.
Well,
and he's number four this week for ESPN.
Interesting.
So yeah, really like is kind of hating on Dak Prescott for the next 4 weeks. Couple other guys, Rivers at 14, then you got Stafford and Derek Carr at number 18 to kind of round out that that tier. And then right. kind of everybody, I mean, you might even, everybody after that is pretty shaky.
Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't worry about it.
So again, the names to look at kind of over the medium term for MathBox, one I think is Andy Dalton. Another one is to keep one eyeball on Matt Ryan and see if he comes awake one of these next couple of weeks. So don't cut him, but maybe just see what's going on. And
be cautious of Dak.
Yeah, and maybe be cautious of Dak coming up.
All right, you want to switch to running backs?
Yeah, so I think like Dave and I were trying to set up a little bit, or maybe set you guys up, the listeners, for running back is pretty slim pickings this week, especially when it comes to the waiver wire.
Yeah, I mean, the only note that I really had on that was Aaron Jones 60% owned.
Yeah, but that's not even going to help you in week 8.
No, it's not going to help you in week. That's very yeah very good point. Forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, he's great and I would definitely use a claim on him this week and probably use I would have been glad to use my timed claim on him this week and then figure out what to do after that with all the kind of free agent pool stuff. But yeah, running back is bad for spot starts this week. Very yeah. bad. I mean, it's not great any week, really, but there's not a lot of opportunity here as far as we can tell with people to help your team. Mm-hmm. There are a few kind of like interesting surprises as the year evolves with MathBox rankings. So Mark Ingram, I don't know if you remember a couple of weeks ago me saying I was starting to look around at my lineup where I have Mark Ingram as my running back number 2 on several leagues and feeling kind of green about it.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling that way anymore.
No. No.
Suddenly, everything's changed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Peterson left, and
I don't know what that had to do with anything. He was even getting that many snaps.
No, he wasn't, but I don't know. I just feel like that running game just lit up.
Yep. All of a sudden, 2 weeks, boom. Huge amounts of stuff.
Yeah, and it's not just Ingram, either.
Yep. So, it's a great point. So, MathBox actually has Mark Ingram ranked at number 5 and has Alvin Kamara ranked at number 13 going into this week right now, which is just insane in this day and age to have two different running backs on the same team in the top 15.
Yeah, I mean, it's saying, I mean, I doubt you have both of them, but maybe you got Mark Ingram and backed him up with Kamara.
Right.
And it just happened to work out.
Oh, I think there are a bunch of people who have both. I have both in a league because of that exact reason. Oh my gosh. Somebody else took Peterson in the draft because I was planning to handcuff him with Ingram, and instead I went and got Kamara either a couple weeks in the season or whatever. I think the thing that's really interesting about this actually is that this is not that far off from expert consensus rankings this week either. Mm-hmm. Both Ingram and Kamara in the top 15, both startable. I think it's probably an unusual situation.
If you had both of them, I would start them RB1, RB2.
Yep.
And just forget about it.
See what happens.
Especially in a PPR league because Kamara's catching a ton of passes.
Yep. So I thought that was something that was really interesting, the running back rankings this week. You know, in a week that's mostly chalk, as the kids like to say these days, if you look at the top end of our running back rankings, it's Le'Veon Bell, Kareem Hunt, Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, Mark Ingram, LeSean McCoy, Devonta Freeman. I mean, none of these names are that surprising.
No.
We do have Jordan Howard at number 10 this week.
Yeah. And, I buy that because he's been getting a lot of carries.
Yep.
And, you know, Mitch Trubisky, quarterback for the Bears, they're not letting him do a whole lot. It's pretty much just...
I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah, right? What did he have, like 8? Passes,
is there
eight completions or
anything
something?
Less than a whole lot?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but I mean, the Bears are playing old school. I feel like they're playing old school Bears football where it's hide the quarterback, run the ball, let the defense do all the real work.
Yeah. So I think the thing that's interesting that when Dave and I were doing like pre-show prep on this, he mentioned Jordan Howard's projected opportunities is as pretty, you know, is as high as it comes almost in our running back ranking. So he's not up to where Le'Veon Bell is, where Le'Veon Bell has like 25 opportunities a game.
Yeah, but he's close. But he's four lower.
He's got 22 projected opportunities a game. So a lot of his value is actually based on because he's got the lowest points per opportunity of anybody in the top 15 or so in our projections.
Negative 0.2 points per opportunity versus his position. So it basically just says he needs a ton of volume to be relevant.
Yep.
Which is fine because I think he's going to get it.
Right. But if anything changes, you Jordan Howard owner should be keeping an eye on how many rushing attempts he's getting a game. Because if things start to trend the wrong way, it might be time to get out of the Jordan Howard business.
Yeah, but I
think, or at least come up with a backup plan.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was indications early on in the season that Tariq Cohen maybe would steal some of his thunder, and it's kind of, at least in the last couple of weeks, not turned out that way. Tariq Cohen hasn't been used less. I mean, he did throw a touchdown pass, which is kind of awesome.
A couple weeks ago,
which is kind of awesome. But it's pretty much been the Jordan Howard show, and he's run well. He hasn't really fumbled or anything. He's been running dudes over.
And they got a good matchup this week against New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, 24th against the run, so you love that.
Yep. The next guy we want to talk about really, really quickly is Chris Thompson. This week, just because it's interesting to note that Chris Thompson is our 12th ranked running back this week. I think people have been kind of all over the place on him just because he gets such a low number of opportunities per game, but he gets a lot of points per opportunity when he's out there. And MathBox projects that to continue, which is good enough to be number 12. He's also inside of our top 10 over the next 4 weeks. So if you're somebody who has Chris Thompson on your team and you're feeling unstable about it, I probably would be okay going for it from here. Last couple of names. When we start looking for streaming options or bi-week fill-in options at running back this week, it's a pretty ugly list of names, but we wanted to kind of at least surface them to the listener so that they could you guys could do a little bit more research and see how you feel about it. Some of these people are definitely rostered, like Javorius Buck Allen at around, he's right around 24 for us, I think. He's someone who's definitely on rosters, but that puts him for this week at, well within running back 2 territory. So if you have him, you're probably still starting him if you're following MathBox. He's also got a not great matchup, but a pretty middle of the road one in Miami. LeGarrette Blount is somebody who actually ranks a little bit higher, who we've been talking about for a couple of weeks. We've gotten to that point in the season, like we joked about last year, where all of a sudden LeGarrette Blount is a starter again.
Oh, yeah.
Just
because injuries and bye weeks, and you might just need a guy, and there he is.
Yep. And then the last few that I'm going to throw out there as being people to keep an eye on and see if they're rostered in your leagues, Jonathan Stewart, Samaje Perine, if you want to see someone to go up against, get some of that targets, get some of the work that Thompson is getting, and Latavius Murray, just because Latavius Murray is coming off of a big week last week. We still like Jerick McKinnon better. MathBox still likes Jerick McKinnon better. Doesn't mean that Murray shouldn't be rostered and might have to be started by some people out there who need a running back really badly this week.
Yeah, but they also have a fairly bad matchup, surprisingly, against Cleveland, which is the 6th best against the run. So, that's kind of unfortunate for Murray, but we'll see what happens. And, MathBox does actually like McKinnon quite a bit better. It has a much higher points per opportunity.
Yeah. In some ways, out of that group that I just named, if you look just at the matchup, Jonathan Stewart against Tampa Bay is the 23rd best defense against the run. He might be the best person to take a look around and see if he's rostered or not. Or somebody got impatient and dropped him, because Jonathan Stewart has always been solid, if unremarkable, kind of player who might be floating around out there for you to use. Last thing I want to talk about is Mike Gillisley. So what's really interesting is that this week, Mike Gillisley is ranked at running back 40. Over the next 4 weeks, counting this week, he is ranked at running back number 18.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if you are thinking about someone to take a speculative pick on, Dave,
because he has not been good for weeks. I mean, he had the first week of the season, I think he had 3 touchdowns and 25 points or something like that in PPR scoring. And he was okay the week after that. But he's barely crossed 5 points since then.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's something happening that Mathbox likes. It's definitely recognizing that he's been bad.
Right.
Because it's putting him so low this week. But right. if you're looking for a guy and you need a name to pick up and potentially play in the next 4 weeks,
right.
Gillislee might be somebody to look at.
Yep. And definitely, you know, this is that type of thing where you pick him up this week, watch the game this week, don't start them this week and see how it goes, and then kind of try to form a decision from there for the next few weeks when you actually need the help. So that's it for running back, unless you've got any other names that kind of pop to you over on the next four-week list.
Not really. I mean, the only thing that I was going to say is just that despite all of Mathbox's love for Joe Mixon early in the season, it really didn't like running backs, or sorry, rookies of all kinds, basically. But it still had Mixon fairly high. Totally corrected on that.
Not anymore.
It's got him at 25th.
Yep.
So, you know, that's probably where he should be.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, because given all the hype, and I know that Chris Seal is a big fan of his.
I am too.
And everybody says he's talented, and it just seems like it's not going to work out this year in Cincinnati.
I don't think their line's good enough. I mean, they're giving him most of the carries, and they want him to take charge, it seems like, but the numbers just, it hasn't translated to fantasy yet.
They want him to take charge, although I read a story today where, who's the name of the coach there? And I suddenly blanked. Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis said Mixon needs to get more mature on the field. So I never know what to think of this coach. I mean, generally, I think nothing of this coach stuff.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't think that a story like that is a positive.
No. I mean, there's something going on there behind the scenes that we're not privy to, that we probably will never be privy to. I mean, the guy had character questions coming into the league, which is why he dropped in the draft. But he's certainly a talented guy, and I hope he pulls it together and it relates and it produces
values.
It produces fantasy points at some point this season, but we're getting pretty late, and I don't know. I've kind of stopped starting him, so.
Yeah, I'm out. I do have a couple more names myself for next week as far as waiver wire pickups go, if you want to get people early on your radar even more. These are people who have decent matchups or rankings that are higher than I thought they would going into week 9.
Okay.
So let's pretend that we are thinking a week ahead right now. There's three players that I wanted to throw out there as names right now that are sort of in this trio right around running back 20 to 22, according to Mathbox projections for week 9. And those three people are Tavares Cadet of the New York Jets, who Mathbox predicts to have a pretty insane points per opportunity. I'm a little skeptical of it, but that means that this is somebody you should be watching this weekend to see what their kind of play is like and see what happens. The next one is LeGarrette Blount, who we've talked about a bunch of times at running back 21. Seems like, you know, Mathbox is saying, hey, going to be around 20 this week, going to be around 21 next week, going to be right around the end of running back 2 for a while, so maybe it's worth rostering. And then the last one is a player that I am often very skeptical of and have been for years is Ameer Abdullah.
Yeah.
The main reason that I wanted to point him out is that I think Mathbox has him pretty high because his matchup against Green Bay in week 9 is pretty good. Green Bay is 27th against the run.
Well, just anecdotally here, and this is not a Mathbox thing, obviously, but because Green Bay basically doesn't have a quarterback, they're probably going to be playing from behind, and Detroit might decide to just salt away the game and just keep running it. So it's not like Ameer Abdullah is this big banger guy that's you can just run into the line 100 times.
Yep.
But, you know, I do think that is a little bit flawed logic sometimes, trying to predict game flow and who you're going to start.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's almost just as likely that Matt Stafford would throw the ball to Golden Tate or Marvin Jones over and over again.
Sure.
And just run the clock down that way. But I get what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
I mean, these are end of running back 2 if you need help kind of players.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So. Okay, so why don't we move on to wide receiver?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so the rankings for wide receiver, I don't think there's a ton of surprises in here, but I do think there's some interesting things to talk about. If you look at the rankings, it goes Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Mike Evans, and then it goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. So our number 4 receiver ranked for this week is Jarvis Landry. I think there's a lot of questions around around him right now. Mostly,
why do you say that?
Kind of a bad matchup this week.
That's a terrible matchup against Baltimore.
There's a he is top 10 in scoring so far this year.
Yeah, he's been great.
So he's been very good
all year, especially in PPR.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I think mostly in PPR. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, what do you think about it? Him at number four.
Well, I will say this: MathBox has not calculated in the new quarterback situation.
Yeah. Okay. So it's Matt Moore.
Yeah.
Instead of Jay Cutler.
Yeah, and Matt Moore might actually be better than Jay Cutler.
Like, maybe there's nothing calculated.
My dislike for Jay Cutler is well documented. So Matt Moore.
My burning passion for Jay Cutler is well documented as well. It's more of like somebody who likes an ugly puppy, but you know.
Yeah, Jay Cutler he's just like a giant sigh.
Yeah.
He's just nothing. There's just nothing there.
Yep.
There's nothing interesting. So anyway, I was hoping he would be out of the league by now.
Oh, and, come on.
But I was hoping his retirement was for real.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway. It may be this time.
So Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, Jarvis Landry.
I think we medium buy it mostly because the quarterback thing isn't that big. The bigger worry is the defensive matchup with him. But he's also been top 10 this year in actual scoring. So I'm not sure if I have him, I'm not benching him.
You might. It would be pretty hard to bench a guy that's been playing that well.
Yeah.
Especially because Cutler has been bad. It's not like he lost Aaron Rodgers or something. He lost Jay Cutler. And so
down would you have to go on this list before you found a second person that you would play over? Before you found two names that you would play over Landry, I guess, that were reasonable to have?
I'm just thinking about roster construction. I mean, I'd play a lot of guys over Landry this week just because of the uncertainty of switching quarterbacks, because I don't know what's going to happen.
Would you play T.Y. Hilton over him?
No.
Okay.
No, definitely not.
So T.Y. is not that far down the list. Would you play Pierre Garçon over him? He's been a great flex for me on the team that I have him on.
Man, maybe not. No, probably not. Yeah, I mean, MathBox doesn't seem to be that afraid of some of these terrible matchups.
That's what I think we're learning as we look at this today.
Yeah, because you're looking at this guy, and some of the guys at the top of the list, like Mike Evans, is playing against Carolina. They're 11th. You know, that's a bad matchup against wide receivers. Jarvis Landry's against Baltimore. They're 3.
Tyreek Hill is
against
Denver,
and he's number 5, and he's 5th. So it's like, MathBox against good receivers, MathBox is not afraid of a defensive matchup.
Mm-hmm. So you want to talk about T.Y. Hilton since we just kind of brought him up?
Yeah. So T.Y. Hilton, MathBox has him at about 19, or sorry, at about 14,
mm-hmm.
and expert ranks close to that, 20-ish.
Right.
You know, depending on who you're talking about. I don't know, I kind of don't like T.Y. Hilton.
You never liked T.Y. Hilton?
No, not really, but especially this year because quarterback situation and, you know, all that. But also because T.Y. Hilton has only really been good in 2 games this year.
Right.
So both those games, you know, one of them against Cleveland, who was okay against, you know, decent defense against wide receivers, and San Francisco, who was awful.
Right.
So, you know, he's just been pretty awful otherwise. And this week is going against Cincinnati, who is great.
Right.
So
against the pass.
So, I mean, I'm just thinking chances are he's going to produce way less than 10 points based off of his history.
Yeah.
Especially against Cincinnati. And yep. I know we just talked about how MathBox isn't so afraid of defenses, but, you know, I still don't like it. Just anecdotally, I don't like it.
I think that's fair. So the next person I want to talk about for a quick second is Keenan Allen, who I'm hopeful is going to play this week for all of his owners out there, because he has a sick matchup playing New England. We have him at number 7, which is really high for Keenan Allen.
Mm, yeah.
But expert consensus is 9. So everybody
loves him this week.
It's another one of those ones where MathBox loves, kind of interestingly, loves the same people that the industry loves that are sort of outliers for a given week.
Yeah, it's seeing the matchup just like everybody else's,
yep.
Which is kind of, you know, justifying.
Next person on my list. You ready to get into this?
Yeah, let's go.
This painful thing that happened to me last week.
What's that?
So I come home Thursday night and I'm like, I got to write a rankings article. Got to make some stuff, going to post it on Medium, all the stuff I'm working. And in the background, I'm watching the Oakland KC game.
Mm-hmm.
And
things happen.
Things happen.
That you probably didn't expect.
Things I knew, I really felt deep in my bones were going to happen at some point, especially after how much we went off on Amari Cooper mm-hmm. the last episode. And he put up 44 points, yeah. I believe, on my bench in one of our PPR leagues.
Like I said, I owned several shares of him and I benched him in every league. Like now, I said, till he was going to do something.
Yeah.
And he did something.
Yeah. Now, I have been benching him for weeks in those leagues. And actually, the thing that's really interesting, because I have him in two different leagues too, MathBox has had him in the mid-30s for the last few weeks of its weekly projections. This
really?
Week, yeah.
So after seeing this last game where...
I guess. Yeah, it's changed all the way up to where MathBox now has him...
16?
Yeah, 16 overall.
Yeah, and he's actually a little bit higher than most people are ranking him in the low 20s.
Yeah.
So MathBox is kind of back onto Amari Cooper. I'll be really curious to see... I mean, if he has a decent game this week, he's playing Buffalo, which is kind of average pass defense.
Right.
If he has a good game, I wonder how far he'll shoot up in the MathBox rankings.
It's a good question.
They definitely reacted to one awesome game, obviously.
Yep. So I have him in a league where I believe that my roster in this league is Cooks.
Okay.
Pryor, Landry, Cooper.
Okay. You going to start all of them?
I'm saying Pryor.
Yeah, think, oh yeah.
To start Cooper.
Yeah, yeah. Start Pryor. Sit Pryor.
Yeah. To start Cooper at wide receiver 3 and kind of take it from there.
Yeah.
So I think I'm probably back in on Cooper.
What do you think about Cooks?
What's that?
What do you think about Cooks?
Well, Cooks, I have a ton of shares. I have him in two different leagues as well. And I'm happy to start him. I mean, MathBox yeah. has him at number 8.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's pretty high on him. I mean, he's been pretty good the last couple of weeks.
It's also a great matchup against the Chargers.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. They're pretty awful against the pass.
Yeah.
And, he hasn't really scored that much.
But it's okay.
But it's fine because he's been making up for it in other areas. So, yeah.
Yeah, Cooks is also number 8 in overall scoring if you take a look at ESPN PPR scoring. So, I mean, I think it's interesting that MathBox is basically saying he's going to be the same as what he's been in aggregate so far this year, this game, just like others. The problem with MathBox here, as far as New England wide receivers go, is not with Brandon Cooks, though.
Yeah. The problem, really, is Chris Hogan. MathBox really hates Chris Hogan. He's down all the way down at 32.
Right. 32. The expert consensus ranking is 14. Yeah, in scoring, he's in the early teens too. Overall for the year, he's scored touchdowns in the early.
Yeah, but is
or not
this,
touchdowns? His total scoring is between 15 and 10 at wide receiver this year.
And even with that matchup, he's still way low.
Yeah,
like it thinks Cooks is going to get everything, and I don't know. I kind of disagree with this one, to be honest.
I do, but there's a couple interesting things here to note. So if you break down the projection into its aggregate pieces, it is not underestimating the number of opportunities a week that Chris Hogan gets.
Okay, so they got him at like 6.5?
Yes, and he's getting around 7.
Okay, so it's like exactly
between
right.
6 and 7. So it's pretty much right with the opportunities. The thing that it's not right with is the fact that Chris Hogan is scoring points at 2.07 points per target. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's our points much
per
higher.
Our points per opportunity or MathBoxes are just low
on him right now. The thing is 2.07 points per opportunity as far as the projections that MathBox has in the system
bonkers.
Is insane high. It's yeah. higher than anybody else on the entire board is in the projections. Now, I'm not as sure in actual scoring this year, so I haven't checked that. So I think it's interesting that you know, Chris Hogan has 5 touchdowns. It's possible that a lot of his aggregate scoring is really touchdown based.
I'm still starting him though.
I'm still definitely starting him. I'm starting him like he's wide receiver 15, I think, or 20. Like he's in that range for me. Yeah. For sure.
Okay, so you're really buying everybody else's ranks.
I've been buying him for a while, and I'm still in on him.
Okay. I mean, I think I'm one league. I'm probably starting
him. He's got 5 touchdowns.
He's going to be a flex.
7 games.
It's hard to sit a guy like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know who else is kind of interesting? DeSean Jackson.
And DeSean Jackson. Both interesting.
Me?
Yeah. Pretty cool guy.
I am interesting, but not for the same reason that DeSean Jackson is. Mm-hmm. He is a guy I very much dislike DeSean Jackson as a fantasy player.
Right.
Just because he's so up and down. I don't like those kind of guys on my team. I want more.
Like Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, but not in the last couple weeks.
Not the last couple weeks, but yeah.
And that is actually the same point I was going to make for DeSean Jackson. Actually been fairly consistent over the last couple weeks. He's, you know, usually that boom or bust guy, but that's not what's been happening lately. So in PPR, his scoring over the last couple weeks, last 5 weeks, I'll just read them off. 18.4, 4.0, 15.6, 12.8, 12.3. It's pretty good.
That is pretty consistent. That's too, pretty for consistent. DeSean Jackson.
You would expect it to be 25, 0. 3, 18, 2. Yeah. But no. So, you know, he's ranked at 22 for MathBox. Everybody else has him around 24. You know,
not a great matchup this week, but no, probably enough to be your number 2 wide receiver.
Yeah, if you're playing in a 12 team or maybe a flex on a 10.
Yep. There you go.
I'd start him. And the only other guy that I had I just wanted to point out that MathBox is really low on Michael Thomas this week. We have him at 13, and everybody else has him much higher, around 5 or 6 or something. So
MathBox was also very, very low on Michael Thomas coming into the year.
Yeah, and it's...
They had him outside, I think that we had him outside of the top 25.
Yeah, he was really low. Season. So it is correcting, but there's something about him that MathBox does not like.
Yeah.
Just overall.
Yeah. It could be the matchup with Chicago. It might just be taking time to get over. Because remember, Michael Thomas was rookie last year. Our models tend to be a little risk averse.
Yeah.
So it could be more just like, hey, we're getting used to the fact that this guy is actually good and we're moving him into his proper position.
Yeah. You know what? That's probably what it is.
Yeah. So I'm going to buzz through a couple of, I'm going to talk about one more player and then I'm going to buzz through some other stuff to kind of get us done with wide receivers. The last person we have to talk about today is Terrell Pryor.
Do we have to?
No, we don't have to talk about him. We don't have to think about him. We don't have to watch him put zeros or twos or fours up anymore.
He's not on any of my teams, so it's fine. But I know he's on a few of yours.
He's on 2 separate teams for me. Because I had him last year in a number of leagues, and he really helped me out a lot. MathBox still has him at number 25 this week. I'm so skeptical. I'm so skeptical, Dave.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I bought it preseason. Like, the situation kind of made sense to me, but nothing has panned out for this guy.
Yeah. I think that in some ways, Pryor is sort of the mirror image of Chris Hogan. He's actually on track to get the right number of opportunities, according to our model. He's just not getting...
He's not doing anything with it?
He's not doing anything with the opportunities that he's getting. He's got a somewhat low completion kind of percentage. He's only catching about half of the passes that are thrown his way. He's only got 1 touchdown, so his points per opportunity is very low.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of don't care at this point as an owner what MathBox says. I also, this is another player that I counseled someone on Twitter by using the MathBox projections last week that they should start him one more week, and we talked about it back and forth a little bit. But I also said to that listener, at that moment, I said, this is the last week for me personally. I'm going to plug him in one more time and see what happens. Well, guess what? Nothing happened. That's it.
Yeah, you can't start him.
Nope.
Nope.
No.
Forget about it. Until he does something, leave him out of all lineups, I would say.
So, 2 more things for this week for wide receiver matchups. We had Ted Ginn on our pickup list, and MathBox has him ranked, after we did the adjusted rankings coming into week 8, has him at 22. I think it could be a pretty good opportunity to grab somebody off the waiver wire who is projected to have a pretty high ranking within the position. Dave's looking at me very skeptically right now.
I can't
now.
See the name.
Oh, it's Ted Ginn.
Oh, Ted Ginn. Yeah, he had a... Yeah, he's been actually... He's a pretty good week last week.
And then Kenny Stills is sort of the same way. He had a big game last week with a couple of totally insane catches. We had him on our waiver radar. I think a lot of people had him on the waiver radar this week. We have him projected at number 26 this week. I think he's definitely somebody that can help you out if you're feeling like you're missing those any of those Green Bay wide receiving options.
You think he's just like a flex?
Yeah, I mean, at wide receiver 26, that's where you'd startable. Want to be playing him. Startable as flex, I think, would be what I would be doing.
Yeah, not a great matchup against Baltimore, though.
Yeah, that's a great point. So he's got the same problem with the matchup as Landry does. So maybe he's somebody who you grab this week, and if you had to start him, you could, but he might be someone who you're kind of watching over the next few weeks.
Yeah, that's probably what I'd do.
And then just to quickly talk about what's coming up on the horizon for in wide receivers, there's three players who kind of have a lot, have kind of higher up projected over the next 4 weeks than I kind of anticipated that they would. And these are people you could also target for waiver wire picks. One is Willie Snead, who mm-hmm. sort of mm-hmm. seems to not be able to get into the lineup in a way that kind of, you know, he was suspended at the beginning of the year. He was injured a little bit. Mathbox has him projected to be the number 29 scoring receiver over the next 4 weeks. So I think that's someone that as long as he plays, he looks like he's going to be healthy. You could put back on your roster, or you could start thinking about penciling him in for either your flex or wide receiver two spot if you're in deep trouble, receiver two.
I'd wait just 1 week to see what he does or how they use him.
Right. And then the last two are Golden Tate is looking a little banged up. He's kind of doubtful for this week right now, so it might be more than banged up, actually. So that leads us back to our favorite receiving options in other receiving options in Detroit, in Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay. Both of them project to be kind of higher in the next 4 weeks. Golladay is projected at number 24 over the next 4 weeks. Jones is projected to be number 31 over the next 4 weeks. It might be factoring in the reduced number of kind of opportunities for Tate with the kind of injury risk. It might also just be factoring in positive lineup or positive matchups for the Lions.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm guessing that it doesn't know that much about Golden Tate being injured, and it's probably not factoring that in. So it's, if he is out, that's even better for those guys.
Right. So the thing that's interesting about both of these, I think, is that we've seen Galladay's young. He's a rookie. He's a rookie. So he had a pretty monster game at the beginning of this year. We've also seen Marvin Jones come in for Detroit a number of times over the years and just put up like a 2-touchdown game randomly.
That's
where a stretch where he's filling in for somebody where he's done like really good fantasy worthy work. So I think he's definitely worth putting on the radar as somebody you could pick up.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's switch to tight ends.
Okay, tight ends for the end. I think there's a couple of interesting things going on here in tight end this week. One is tough matchups for two of the best players at the position this year. Gronkowski and Zach Ertz both have less than optimal matchups. Gronkowski is facing the Chargers, who are number two against the tight end, and Ertz is facing San Francisco, who unbelievably, while being like 32nd against running backs, is third against the tight end.
Yeah, who knew?
So, the thing that's interesting is that this basically means that Gronkowski is third in our rankings instead of first this week, which is kind of where he is in expert consensus. Ertz is second in expert consensus, and we have him all the way down at 10th.
Yeah.
You going to sit Zach Ertz?
No, I don't think so. He's just been too good and too consistent.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
If you have a team that has Zach Ertz and any of the players ranked above him on our list, which would be Kelsey, Reed, Gronkowski, Graham, Henry, Rudolph, great. If you have a team where you have two of those players on it, you should trade one of them.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Because
I mean, the only people I think I'd start over Ertz, despite this bad ranking, is probably Travis Kelce and Gronk.
Yep.
I wouldn't start Jordan Reed over it. I wouldn't start Jimmy Graham or
I think
Hunter
Henry.
Yeah, none of those guys.
And speaking of Kelce, we have Kelce number one this week. Denver actually is pretty bad against the tight end, so we're basically anticipating that he's going to get a lot of the work out of you know, out of the passing game in Kansas City. So OJ Howard had a pretty huge game this weekend.
Yeah, he did.
A lot of talk in the waiver wire about Howard. We don't have him ranked very high at all. He basically ranks as a no start in ours, which means he's outside of the top 20 in tight end. And Cameron Brate is still within the top 10. I don't think I'm ready to like rush to pick the guy up. I think it was kind of like a freak.
No. Yeah, I think it's a freak thing. I mean, I'm not saying that he's a bad player or anything. I think he might actually be good, but it's very rare that a team can support two startable tight ends. I mean, when was the last time that happened? That was probably the Patriots, right?
I think it feels like that was the only time that ever happened.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just historically, I'd say it's probably Brate. I mean, if you have a bench spot and you want to take a shot on Howard, maybe hold him for a week or two, but I wouldn't put too much on it.
Yep, I'd probably
just not worry about it.
I wouldn't worry about it at all right now. And if I was a Brate owner, I'm also not worrying about it yet.
Yeah.
You still got around 15 points out of Brate last week out of the work that he did, even without touchdowns. According to our benchmarking, that's pretty dang good for a tight end. So yeah. I would just roll with it.
Yep.
A couple of streaming options available for tight end. Jason Witten, Jared Cook, according to MathBox. Now, I haven't watched Witten play much this year. All I know is he's just old, and he used to be like the guy who was on my team every single season.
He was Tony Romo's safety blanket.
Yeah, he would get like four touchdowns a year, three touchdowns a year, and be fine. Jared Cook, I did watch the other night in the on the Thursday night game, and he had some great passes. He looked like he was pretty involved in the game. So I think that, you know, if you're looking for somebody with a really good matchup, both Witten and Cook have great matchups against Washington and Buffalo, respectively. They're both towards the end of the 20s or the early 30s against the tight end. They could be people you could use to kind of patch a hole in your lineup and see what happens.
Jared Cook is one of those guys that I have to kind of bite my tongue on because he's one of those bias players. He's one of those dudes that's been out there for years and never really turned it on.
Never really done anything.
No, never been that fantasy relevant. So, you know, I'm trying to not do that anymore.
Yeah.
And pay attention a little bit more to what MathBox says.
Well, these are spot start suggestions this week.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, I probably wouldn't do it, but if I really needed a guy, maybe I'd think about it.
Yeah. And then last two players, MathBox is actually pretty down on Austin Seferian Jenkins and George Kittle. They're ranked right next to each other, kind of at the end of the teens for us. Austin Seferian Jenkins, from watching some of the kind of Jets games recently, is definitely an active participant in that offense. So I think to have him ranked with only four
that
opportunities
is a
per game is
endorsement, an active participant in that offense.
Yeah, he's not a dead person out on the field. I mean, I just think that that's pretty low, and he's probably someone who I would throw into streaming as well above most of the options that are above him, like Zach Miller and Vernon Davis and Benjamin Watson. Like, I don't want any of those guys. I'll take a shot on Seferian Jenkins if I have to. I feel the same way about Kittle, at least for one more week. But he's definitely kind of on the watch. He had a couple of great games, and then I've been trying him out. I definitely, the team that I have Kittle and I've been plugging him in, I'm looking for somebody else this week. So we'll see what happens.
Just because of this ranking?
Just because of this ranking. And this ranking is a good reminder to me that he hasn't done much over the last few weeks. So I should probably get him.
Good matchup, though,
start working
Philly
on it. Yeah. So that's where we're at for tight ends. And that kind of wraps up our positional rankings discussion right now. We don't have defense to kind of talk about yet, other than the context of how they affect other players. But Dave, at least in MathBox, but Dave has a couple of defenses that I think people should take a look at.
Yeah, so I just had two teams here to look at. Obviously, the Jags have been awesome. I mentioned that earlier. Number one scoring defense so far, but also they have just an amazing schedule. They're basically playing every bad team for like the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Remember when they used to be one of the bad teams?
Yeah, they used to be terrible, and now they're just killing it.
And
so
now they're terrible plus.
If you have the Jags, good on you for recognizing that. And if some dumb fantasy player drops them because it's their bye week, pick them up.
Yeah.
Because they should stomp for the rest of the year. The only other team I had is the Rams, who've been like third in points. So same deal with that.
Yeah.
Although their schedule isn't as good.
So I don't want to sound like a homer here, but after watching the Bears defense on Sunday,
yeah,
I think they could definitely be worth an add in a lot of leagues as far as somebody. I'm a little skeptical this week against the Saints, but you know.
Yeah, but okay, but here's the sneaky thing about that is no one's looking for them.
Yeah.
If you do think they're a worthwhile team to pick up, and look, I'm not saying it's every week, but maybe it's a couple spot starts if you're going to potentially hold two defenses. No one's going to pick them up this week because they're playing New Orleans. Right. You just grab them and hold them for the next best game.
Right. Yeah, I think as long as you have the lineup flexibility to be able to do that, it could be a good thing. So that's it for our kind of takes on the Week 8 rankings. I think we went pretty deep there.
Yeah, we went through a lot of players.
I think it's you know, these rankings are really great. We're excited about all the data that's here in them. If you want to see the uncut stuff where you don't have to listen to Dave and I kind of talk through things, if you want to have a look through where you can manipulate the data itself, you know, just send an email to podcast@fantasyoutliers.com and just hit us up. We'll share a link with you. You can get into the Google Doc and you can mess with the numbers all you want.
I'll even teach you how to use Google Sheets.
Wow. What a guy. I'll teach you how to use a spreadsheet.
It's pretty easy once you can know a couple buttons to click on.
Yeah, exactly. And we will publish, we'll be publishing a full kind of written version of the rankings on Medium as well, coming out Thursday, so people can start to make lineup decisions and things like that too. So before we go, since it is our spookiest episode of the year, I have a little game that I want to play with Dave Seal.
No. I'm afraid of this now.
You should be. It's just, I call it Fantasy Outliers Trick or Treat.
Okay.
Okay.
What is this?
So here's a game. You tell me that it's a trick if you buy this player at what they've done so far, or if it's a treat if you buy it, it's a trick if you don't buy it.
Okay.
Okay. Alex Smith, quarterback number one in scoring so far. Trick or treat?
Well, it's a treat because I know that's already true.
Well, it's not whether it's true or not. It's whether you think it's going to continue to be true.
Oh, whether I think
true.
It's going to continue. Oh.
Let's try that again.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm going to play a game with you. Do you know the rules of the game?
I think I do now.
Okay. Alex Smith, quarterback one, trick or treat?
I'm going to say no.
You're going to not play my game and say trick like you're supposed to. You're supposed to be on. No, it's fine. Just beep it. This is the fun part at the end.
All right. This is really fun.
Okay. So you say trick.
Yeah, I say trick. I don't think it's going to happen.
I say trick. Do you think top five?
Top five? Yeah, I buy that.
You think Alex Smith top five the rest of the year?
I think there's a decent chance. Yes. Okay. I would say treat on that.
Okay. I like it. Chris Thompson, total scoring in PPR so far this year, running back number eight. Trick or treat?
I think that's a trick. I don't think it's going to last.
I say treat.
Really?
I think so.
Why?
Just because he seems like one of those players that's just going to catch. He's just going to have these games where he puts up massive points and then he's going to go away for a game. And he's just going to be, the DeSean Jackson of the backfield.
Yeah.
And we're just going to, nobody's going to be happy to have him. And that's what it's going to be. But I think that range I'm okay with between let's say 8 to 12, and I'm buying.
Okay. I would probably say 12 to 15.
12 to 15.
Yeah.
Okay. Duke Johnson, speaking of running back number 12, Duke Johnson is number 12 in scoring so far in PPR this year.
That is crazy. That is, I mean, it's like unbelievable to me.
So trick or treat, Duke Johnson.
I mean, it's got to be a trick.
Trick. I agree.
Yeah. Trick. It's got to be.
He's been riding my bench in a league where I keep looking at him going, can I start Duke Johnson this week? And I go, no.
Don't do it.
No, I can't do it.
Just don't do it.
No, just don't do it. Pierre Garçon, wide receiver number 29.
I would say treat. I think maybe better than that even.
I think it's a trick because I think he's actually going to end up better than that.
Yeah, I'd say like 25th or 22nd or something in that range.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I'm feeling too. I think he had one or two games where he was kind of zero, and then he's been really consistent ever since then. And then your boy, the last person on the trick-or-treat...
My good call, a couple weeks ago.
On the Fantasy Outliers trick-or-treat board for 2017... Evan Engram, tight end number 5 so far in scoring.
Really? For real?
Yeah, I just looked it up on ESPN.
All right. You know, this sounds crazy, but I'm going to say treat. Just because he got 12 targets last week.
Yeah, that's so absurd for a tight end. Bonkers.
And he only caught 6 of them, but 12 targets. Yeah. And also, they can support... pass catchers, they're not one of those teams that's so bad that they have no one usable.
Yep.
I mean, they're bad, but they're not that bad. Yeah, I'm going to say it's possible.
You're going to say Evan Engram, top 5.
Yeah, I mean, I would be much more comfortable if you said top 8 or something, or top 9. But
top 9 is very specific.
You know what I mean. Bottom end of startable tight ends for the rest of the year. Yeah, 5 is a bit of a stretch, but... they're just going to keep throwing the ball to him.
Yep. Okay. There you go. Dave Seals' assessment. I hope did you have fun with that game, Dave?
Yeah. I don't know if I did it right, but.
No, you did it right. Okay. Now remember, you do have to beep some stuff out from the beginning of it.
No, I do.
Okay. Great. So that's it for this week. Let's go through the stuff where we plead with people to contact us.
You don't even have to send me an email. It's fine. I don't need one this time.
Reverse psychology.
Just
oh, perfect.
Please do not tweet us and do not send me an email.
So I do want to talk a little bit about, so we're throwing out there right now. Email us at fantasyoutliers.com.
Do not email us. Please, at that email.
Please email us at podcast@fantasyoutliers.com. You can get access to our projection sheet. You will be able to find the projections and our waiver wire pickups at medium.com/fantasy-outliers or dash for those of you who like dash instead of hyphen. The last thing I would say about Twitter is @fantasyoutliers is the Twitter. We're going to try to do a couple of hours of advice every Sunday before kickoff of the noon games. Not noon, well, 1 o'clock games. They're noon for us here in Chicago. But, you know, we'll be out there answering questions. So if you have a question, you want to know what MathBox thinks, or you want to know what we think of what MathBox thinks of a certain thing, send us a tweet. There will be someone there listening. Also, we are going to go out and find people on the #FantasyFootballAdvice, which is actually very active on Sunday mornings. And so I was actually reaching out to total strangers and inserting myself in their conversations.
How did that work out for you?
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. People were really friendly. It turned out I gave mediocre to bad advice because I told people to start Terrell Pryor based on MathBox projections. And
But what else did they have?
Well, one of them had Javon Kearse. So that wouldn't have been so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Unfortunately. So they're just desperate.
Mixon versus Henry. And then a couple other things. I felt good about the advice that I gave. And then, you know, stuff doesn't always break your way. But at any rate, find us on Twitter. If you use Twitter, you'll be able to, you know, we'll be there interacting, doing kind of like live tweeting advice on Sunday mornings just to kind of talk to the people who are listening. So let us know if you're out there, if you need help. And other than that, go to iTunes, rate, review, download,
review.
Subscribe, all those kind of things. We would be really appreciative of it.
It helps a ton. And thanks to the Kentucky Struts for the use of their song When off their album You're the Horse.
Nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it.
All right. Well, we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Bye.